Southern California College Mountain Retreat, April 11th to April 13th, 2003. Title, The Purpose of the Ages. Message 2, The Degradation and Recovery of the Church.
I appreciate so much. That's why we're here this weekend. We're here for God's eternal purpose. You know, Ephesians 3, 10 and 11 use this phrase, purpose of the ages, God's eternal purpose. And it's so good that we could stop everything, come up here for a couple of the days to pay attention to what is really eternal, what is really important. Hallelujah, for the purpose of the ages, God's eternal purpose. It's good, isn't it? We didn't just come up here for a little temporary good time, a little temporary fun. We came up here for the purpose of the ages.
Amen.
And I tell you, when you touch the purpose of the ages, you touch the joy of the universe.
Amen.
That is inexplicable, unimaginable. So it's so good that we could set aside everything, forget everything, give our whole being to fellowship this matter of the eternal purpose of God, the purpose of the ages.
Amen.
I appreciated so much this morning's fellowship, saints, and I'd like to just review in a simple way because I feel it's very critical to tonight's message. Number one is we saw that God's eternal, not temporary, not light, but God's eternal purpose, and that's why we're here, is actually God's economy.
Amen.
It's God's economy. And God's economy implies a lot. It implies his intention to gain a family, a household composed of many sons of God. And also implies the dispensing of God into us to fill us with himself, to saturate us, permeate us, and constitute us with Christ so that we would become his expression. So God's eternal purpose is God's economy, and God's economy is his intention with the implication of gaining a family which is composed of many sons who are full of him. And how do we get full of him? By the dispensing of him. Praise the Lord. He doesn't have an empty plan, but he has a plan including his dispensing. And the dispensing of himself to fill us with himself. So as Brother James mentioned this morning, if any of you know him, Brother David Vinson, medical doctor, he has 8 children. And he's got a van for 15. Put them all in there. What a happy man. All those kids. I tell you, when you touch God's eternal purpose, God's economy, you touch a very happy person.
Amen.
Millions of kids. Not just a large family, but a family that has been fulfilled with him, constituted with him through his rich, wonderful, precious dispensing. Well, that's why we're here. This dispensing produces God's family. This produces his household. And then we saw, secondly, that this eternal purpose has a center. And that center is the church. That family, those many sons filled with Christ through his dispensing, are the church. So the center of God's eternal purpose is the church. And what is this center? This center is related to God's good pleasure, his joy, his happiness. This is God's entertainment. This is God's amusement. This is God's party. This is God's touchdown. Hallelujah! This is God's joy, his good pleasure. That's the church. And then we saw this morning, listen, the center of God's economy, which is the church, is needed by God for 3 reasons. Why does he need the church? Number 1, he needs the church Because as the invisible God, he needs an expression of himself. He wants to be expressed. In Ephesians 1:4, it says that we were chosen to be holy, predestinated to be sons of God. Why? So that we could be filled with him to be the expression of our God. The sons are just the expression. So number one, what's the main first reason of the church? The first purpose of the church is for God to be expressed. And we're here. Isn't that good? We're here taking a couple of days to stop to take care of God's heart's desire. Amen. While so many other things and persons are trying to be expressed, God wants to be expressed. Amen. We're here for the expression of our God.
Amen.
Second thing, the second reason and purpose of the church is what? It is for the testimony of God's wisdom. The second purpose or reason for the church is to display God's multifarious wisdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Satan has made a mess, but God's major is to make a masterpiece out of a mess.
Amen.
I appreciate James' illustration. What a thing if you could take a hunk of junk and exercise your wisdom over it like a vehicle and produce this outstanding high-class BMW. But how much greater if you could take people who are fallen, sinful, rebellious, negative, independent, individualistic, fleshly, and on and on and on, and make them the very wisdom of God to shame the devil.
Amen.
You know why we're up here? We're up here to put the devil to shame.
Amen.
To express our God and to shame the enemy.
Amen.
And I like John 3, don't you? John 3. Here's Nicodemus, a really good guy, about 65 years old, very well respected, probably a PhD, maybe, I don't know, maybe postdoc and all that stuff. I don't know. Very intelligent, very well known, very nice, comes to the Lord by night. Do you have any good teaching for me, Master and Rabbi? And what's the Lord say? He said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. And later on, in the same chapter, after he told him that, verse 14, basically what he said, he didn't say all this, but it's implied. Nicodemus, you may be a pretty nice guy, well-educated, well-respected, achieved, etc. But I just want to let you know that you're a snake. Verse 14. And that's what he was saying. As the Son of Man, as Moses lifted up the snake, the serpent, on the pole, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up. But what wisdom that the Lord could take snakes and make them into the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Because in verse 29 and 30, it says, we as the church, what are we? We're the increase of Christ. And that's the bride of Christ. It takes a lot of wisdom to take a lot of snakes and make them into your bride.
Amen.
Hallelujah for our wonderful, wise God.
Amen.
So the second purpose of the church is to manifest the multifarious wisdom of God.
Amen.
Thirdly, and I really appreciated this, and I hope we really did pay attention to this. What's the third reason for the church? It's to head up. It's for God's administration. It's for God's administration and heading up of this entire rebellious universe. And as Brother James was mentioning, saints, we know on the news today, the coalition forces are going in to do what? To eliminate an evil regime. But I tell you, that will never be able to be fully eliminated. And there'll still be chaos. But our wonderful God in Christ is heading up everything in this universe. And I appreciate what Brother James said. You know what your assignment is? You came up on the mountains to get your assignment. Your assignment is to set the entire universe free.
Amen.
This is our assignment. Our assignment is to cooperate with Christ by loving Him, calling on Him, opening to Him, giving Him the room in our heart, and letting Him dispense Himself fully into us so that we could join Him by taking the lead to get headed up and to set the entire universe free. You may say, "Oh, that blows my mind. It's way I..." Brothers and sisters, that's why we're here.
Amen.
That's the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to express our God.
Amen.
To shame the devil with God's wisdom.
Amen.
And to join Christ to head up all things.
Amen.
And to set the universe free.
Amen.
Even everybody tonight is running wild to try to be happy, to try to be content, but everybody is in absolute, total bondage. The Lord needs some people to cooperate with Him to set this universe free. So we want to be those who take the lead to cooperate with our Christ, who is the head. Hallelujah, Christ is head.
Amen.
How about we declare three times, Jesus is Lord, and we mean it. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Okay, so now give your neighbor a quiz and just talk with each other. Just say, "Hey, neighbor, what are the three reasons or purposes of the church?" Just talk with them. Okay, because of time, I hope you made your neighbor clear. So again, in a real simple way, saints, God's eternal purpose is God's economy, including His dispensing into us to make us the church. The church is the center of God's eternal purpose. And the church exists for three reasons. To express our God. And I tell you, when you get involved in these reasons, you become a happy person.
Amen.
To express our God.
Amen.
To shame Satan.
Amen.
And to set the entire universe free.
Amen.
By joining our heading up Christ. This is marvelous. Now, I hope you'd get the point at this point. The point is that the church is extremely important. It's the center of God's eternal purpose. Because it's the center, because of its utmost importance, Satan hates the church. I heard Brother Francis share this afternoon that Satan hated God and rebelled against God. This is clear in the Bible. When the Lord was on the earth, Satan hated Jesus. And those who followed Him closely, who were in the reality, Satan hated them. And the result of the Lord's death and resurrection is the producing of many believers as the church. And Satan hates the church. So we shouldn't be surprised that there's opposition to the purpose of the ages. Don't be surprised. On the other hand, don't be afraid. Satan is a liar.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Christ is victor.
Amen.
But we must see the importance of the church. Then we see what? We see Satan with his evil stratagems. Evil stratagems to what? To attack. And number one, as Brother David was mentioning, the first thing that Satan does is he brings in many substitutes for Christ. And this whole message touches this to some extent. Many substitutes for Christ. Brothers and sisters, I became a Christian in 1958 at the end of high school. And I was 11 years before I came into the Lord's recovery and into the church life. And I came under this ministry opening up the truth of God's Word. I have to tell you, many, many, many substitutes in my life for Christ. And why am I happy? Because when I came to the recovery, I was under the ministry of the age to bring me to Christ and only Christ.
Amen.
And no substitutes.
Amen.
Nothing would replace him. So Satan works, number one, by bringing in substitutes for Christ. To replace what? The life. So we just have what? Some kind of organization, some kind of system, some kind of method, some kind of ritual, some kind of outward foot washing. Just outward baptism, outward this, outward that. All outward things. But to kill the life. To kill the life. Secondly, Satan's stratagem, his evil strategy against God's eternal purpose, the church, is what? It's to divide the body. It's to divide the body and to do anything possible to stop the perfecting of our oneness and the building up of our oneness. This is Satan's stratagem. And number three, what is it? Number three is to kill the function of all the members by just having only Reverend so-and-so, only Father so-and-so, only this so-and-so, only that great so-and-so, only this so-and-so. Everyone else is silent. Everyone else is quiet. Everyone else is dead. Everyone else is gone. This paralyzes the body, and Christ has no expression. So these are Satan's evil stratagems, his attack directly to substitute things, bring in many substitutes for our wonderful, precious Christ.
Amen.
Number two, to divide us, to divide the body, the oneness that we have by the Spirit. And to number three, what? Kill the function. Well, let me just conclude this opening word by these three phrases. Number one, hallelujah, God has an eternal purpose.
Amen.
Secondly, Satan has his evil stratagem. But thirdly, praise the Lord, there's a recovery.
Amen.
So in this message, we touch the degradation of the church and the recovery of the church. God has an eternal purpose. Satan attacks, but praise the Lord for his recovery. To defeat the enemy and to bring us back to God's original intention so that God's heart's desire could be fulfilled. His good pleasure could be made known. Our God could be satisfied. That's why we're in the mountains. We're in the mountains to make our God happy.
Amen.
We're in the mountains to satisfy the one who loves us so much. And we're here for the fulfillment of the purpose of the ages. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
So, saints, now let's go to the outline, and we'll just kind of walk through the outline on session two. Roman numeral one, the church, centered in God's eternal purpose, became degraded. Degraded means brought down, corrupted, damaged. As Satan came in to distract her from God's economy by different teachings. And as our brother Brian mentioned the burden in Acts 2:42 is that we would continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship. Why did we come up here for these 2 days? To continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship. And what is his teaching? Mainly, it is God's economy. It's God's economy, with his intention to get a family and with the dispensing of Christ as the life-giving Spirit to saturate us, soak us, and constitute us with himself for the fulfillment of his desire. So, this is very precious when it comes to, like Brian mentioned, in 1 Timothy 1. Paul charged Timothy to charge others in Ephesus, don't teach anything other than God's economy. Amen. Don't teach anything other than the dispensing of this wonderful Christ to produce many sons of God, many members of the body, and to prepare his bride for his satisfaction. So the Bible is very clear. Don't teach any other teaching, just God's economy. Praise the Lord. And what's God's economy? Means God just wants to give himself. As James mentioned, God is in the distributing business. Amen. What's he want to distribute? Christ. Amen. That's all he wants to give us, is Christ. I thought for years God wanted to give us things. Oh, Lord, I need more patience. So he gives you a little thing called patience. Lord, I need more love. So he gives something called love. God doesn't give things. God only gives Christ.
Amen.
Every time we open to him, every time we call on him, what does he give us? Christ. Amen. When you get Christ, you get patience. Amen. When you get Christ, you get love.
Amen.
When you get Christ, you get joy unspeakable.
Amen.
So our focus is God's economy with the dispensing of Christ. We don't teach anything different, anything other than this. So this is Satan's stratagem. The church centered in God's eternal purpose, what became degraded as Satan came in to distract her from God's economy by different teachings. And so many teachings. I'm telling you, I wasted so much time going after this teaching and that teaching, even good teachings about Christ, but there was nothing of Christ imparted. So we need to come back to God's economy. So how about we shout, hallelujah for God's economy. Hallelujah.
God's economy.
Which is especially the dispensing of Christ.
Amen.
Our God just loves to distribute and give Christ. Amen.
Amen.
He's a giver.
Amen.
Our God just wants to give Christ.
Amen.
So why are we up here for 2 days? To just let God give Christ.
Amen.
God gives and we take.
Amen.
Remember when he took the bread, he took, bless, and he gave it to them to receive. God so loved the world, he gave. Christ loved the church, he gave. Our God is giving.
Amen.
He just gives himself. That's why in 2 Corinthians 9, it tells us, 2 Corinthians 9, there's a verse that says, God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a hilarious giver. Take it. This means our God just wants to give himself.
Amen.
This is his economy. He went through incarnation. He went through crucifixion. He went through resurrection. He's in ascension. He's poured out as the life-giving Spirit just to give.
Amen.
He just needs some happy recipients.
Amen.
Who would take.
Amen.
Okay, the second Roman numeral. The degradation of the church began with being taken over by the religious philosophies and the elements of the world, and was consummated to become Babylon the Great, the apostate Christendom. What does Christendom mean? Christendom means, just in a general way, people who even mention or claim to be somewhat related to Christ. But I tell you, in that category, there is everything you can think of. And this is not something that pleases God, but something that God hates. And it mentions here apostate. Apostate means revolting. It means defection from the truth. It means abandonment of the truth. And this is Satan's stratagem. The degradation of the church began with being taken over by the religious philosophies and the elements of the world, and was consummated to become Babylon the Great, the apostate Christendom. Brother Brian mentioned one verse, I think, Brian, in Colossians 2. And how about we just read a verse? Colossians 2:8. Good for us to open our Bible and to read a verse. Colossians 2:8. Could we read that verse together? 2:8. Ready, get, set, go. Beware that no one carries you off as spoil through his philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. Yes. So Colossians 2, just Colossians is a book, brothers and sisters. Colossians is a book that unveils the most precious, sweet, delicious, enjoyable Christ in the whole universe. And we'll see with some verses later that refer us to Colossians how tasty and how precious and wonderful our Christ is. He's all-inclusive. He's everything that's needed for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. But listen, chapter 2 speaks in four different verses. What's it say? Beware that no one, what? Carries you off as spoil. Verse 4, what's it say? Verse 4. No one may delude you with persuasive speech. Verse 16, let no one judge you. Verse 18, let no one defraud you. In other words, this chapter is just speaking again and again and again to us. Don't be cheated by Satan. Don't be ripped off. Don't be defrauded. Don't be carried away by vain philosophy, empty teachings. But rather, take care of Christ, who is the center and reality of God's economy. So in this book of Colossians, you can see many verses like this, warning us about the philosophies and the things that will take us away from Christ. And this is Satan's stratagem, but we would beware. We would see. Brothers and sisters, I'm just burdened tonight. Not only would we see God's eternal purpose with Christ and the church as the center, we would see Satan. Satan would be exposed. And we would also see the Lord's recovery. You know, sometimes in a building, it gets saturated, or there's lots of cockroaches. But you come into a certain room, you turn on the light, there's cockroaches, boom! When the light comes, they all go. I just believe these 2 days are for the light to come and the cockroach to go.
Amen.
For Christ to come.
Amen.
Cockroach would go.
And
we would be able to continue with the Lord, cooperating with Him for the fulfillment of His eternal economy.
Amen.
So nothing would be a substitute for our dear Lord Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. You know, in Colossians it mentions philosophy became a substitute. Okay? But also it mentions things like Brian touched. It mentions certain practices or certain days. For example, in chapter 2, it talks about the Sabbath, and it talks about eating and drinking and new moons. But then it makes it very clear in verse 17 that Christ is the reality of all those shadows. And that what's needed is none of these things. All of these things would replace Christ. But what we need is Christ as the reality. Then in Hebrews, there was a strong burden on the Lord's heart because the Jewish religion, which was, you could say, the genuine religion, but it was like a bottle to contain the content and to convey the content. But when Christ came as the content, they loved the bottle more than the content. So there was a real burden that nothing would replace our Christ. Satan's stratagem was to get this religion to be a substitute for Christ. But we have to say, hallelujah! Amen. Satan is exposed!
Amen.
We're brought back to the content, and that content is Christ. In Galatians, the law was lifted up among the Jewish believers. But Paul made it clear that God's economy is not carried out by the law, but by Christ as the fulfillment of the law. So nothing would be a substitute for Christ. Nothing. And then in Corinthians, gifts and wisdom, many things Satan used as substitutes for Christ. But Paul was very strong to say, nothing but Christ. And the underlying thought is we should enjoy nothing and no one except Christ.
Amen.
This is our need, is to enjoy Christ. Hallelujah for our Christ.
Amen.
He's so enjoyable. Amen.
Amen.
Well, how about we say together, oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. Two times.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now, continuing, we see Satan's stratagem more in Roman numeral 3. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the degradation of the church can be seen as, number one, and Brother David touched this, having left the first love toward the Lord. Satan uses teachings, he uses philosophy, he uses religion, he uses the law. But all of us need to be on the alert. Nothing should replace Christ.
Amen.
How about we pray? Lord, don't let anything replace you.
Amen.
Lord, don't let anything replace
you.
So, the source of degradation is leaving the first love. Precious footnote in Revelation 2:4 says that the source of all the degradation is leaving our first love for the Lord. So isn't it good, brothers and sisters, we could take 2 days to come up here and just love the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
And we're here to be under the controlling, clear vision of God's economy. So we not only love him, saints, but we want to love what he loves.
Amen.
We want to love him and love what he loves. Sometimes you love a person, but you don't love what they love. Oh, Mike, I love you. But he loves some certain things, and I don't love what he loves. When we say we love the Lord, that means we love him and we love what he loves.
Amen.
What does Christ love? He loves the church.
Amen.
He loves the church. Then B, having the works of the Nicolaitans. What does this mean? Degradation here means what Nicolaitans means. Nico means conqueror. Laity means, you know, laity. I mean, basically, it means somebody stronger conquering somebody weaker. And you have a system of Nicolaitans. Some conquering the laity. Some are dead, listening, sitting, doing nothing. Others do everything. But what does the Lord say about the works of the Nicolaitans? He said, I hate them. Which things I hate! The Lord not only loves the church, he also hates the works of the Nicolaitans. Because the works of the Nicolaitans do what? They are Satan's strategy against God's economy.
Amen.
C, becoming in union with the world where Satan's throne is. You know, as we touch these two, B and C, we have to realize we don't want anything to replace Christ. We're not here for some famous speaker alone, just to speak and we do nothing but listen. We're not here for some kind of entertainment and we just sit here and bathe in the entertainment. We're here for Christ to be exalted and the body to be builded up.
Amen.
Well, becoming in union with the world where Satan's throne is. This means Satan's strategy. Listen, this is a good phrase, in union. Satan's strategy with you in your daily life is what? It's to get you in union with the world. Satan's strategy is to get you in union with the world. You consider your daily life. It's to get you in union with the world. It may be through music. It may be through places you go. It may be the way you use your time. It may be how you spend your time. It may be with the persons you hang out with. But Satan's goal is to put you in union with the world. And to Satan's stratagem, we only have one answer. No!
Amen.
How about let's give that answer together. No! I mean it. We need to speak that no. Then D, holding the teaching of Balaam to eat idol sacrifices and to commit fornication. Idol means what? Something replaces Christ. Something is a substitute for Christ, takes us away from Christ and from the enjoyment of Christ. We have to realize in our daily life, Satan is working to do what? To bring in idols. Idols is something we love more than the Lord. Idol is something that we love more than the Lord, replacing the Lord. And to take us away from the enjoyment of the Lord. But to the idols we say what? No! Then E, holding the teaching of the Nicolaitans to have the hierarchy. What does the Lord need? He needs the body with the expression of all the members. And as I know many of you, and I just see many of you, the Lord growing in you, and I see the function of the Lord blossoming in you. It is so precious. So precious. Why? Because the Lord is getting His expression. His wisdom is shaming the devil. And God's administration is being carried out because people are getting headed up. Well, some of these teachings are an attack against the head of the body. Some of these teachings are against the body to stop the function of the body and to paralyze the body. Anyway, we can see Satan is exposed. Satan is exposed with his stratagem to attack Christ the head and to destroy the body and the functioning of all the members. Then F, let's see, okay, did I mention E? Okay, holding the teaching of Nicolaitans to have a hierarchy. F, tolerating the woman Jezebel to teach and lead the Lord's slaves astray, to commit fornication and to eat idol sacrifices and to teach the deep things of Satan. You can see Satan's stratagem. Brothers and sisters, when the church life first began 2,000 years ago, there were no positions, there were no titles, Father so-and-so, Reverend so-and-so, none of those things. This was Satan's invention. A sister that's in this room, I hope she doesn't mind me giving this testimony, but she shared recently one thing that really turned her to the Lord was having to go to a priest as a young girl to confess her sins. And eventually one day she asked him, "How are you able to forgive my sins?" And by questioning and receiving the response, things became exposed, and this opened her to receive the Lord.
Amen.
And to get out of that system and to not let Satan operate anymore in that way in her life. Hallelujah!
Amen.
having a name of being living but actually being dead. But we have to say the Lord tonight is what? He's the sevenfold intensified spirit to make us intensely living and intensely shining.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
He's the wonderful spirit in us. And then H. Let's read H together. Go.
Being lukewarm and keeping Christ outside the door.
Amen. So, lukewarmness. Satan's strategy is to keep you from being burning. To keep you from being fervent. The Lord says, I would that you would be boiling, exercising your spirit of love, enjoying me. Satan's strategy is to make you lukewarm. But I thank the Lord we could come up here for a couple days and Satan's strategy could be exposed.
Amen.
And all of us would have a fresh opening to the Lord, a fresh repentance to the Lord, a fresh consecration to the Lord, and for many tonight, even a fresh baptism.
Amen.
That I am not here to be lukewarm,
Amen.
But I am here to be burning,
Amen.
Loving my Lord.
Amen.
And my spirit of love would be fanned into flame.
Amen.
I would not be passive toward my marvelous, dear, precious Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So at the conclusion of all these first three Roman numerals, we see Satan's strategy. Satan's strategy. And all these points, A through H, the Lord spoke over and over and over again. What did he say? Repent. 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 Have a turn. Make a turn. Well, how about we just take time right now with our neighbor. Just pray. Lord, keep us from the evil one. Keep us for your dear self. Don't let anything become a substitute for you.
Amen.
Just pray with each other for about 15 seconds. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen, Lord. Keep us from the evil one. Okay, Roman numeral 4. Let's read that together with a strong spirit. Go. So God has his purpose, Satan has his stratagem, but the Lord has his recovery.
Amen.
How about we shout two times, hallelujah for the Lord's recovery.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah for the Lord's recovery.
Hallelujah for the Lord's recovery.
Would you look up Matthew 19:8? Look that up. That's a very good verse. It means to restore, to be brought back. From something that's lost or abnormal to original, normal condition. Okay, look at Matthew 19:8. What's that say? Go.
He said to them, Moses, because of your hardness of heart, allowed you to divorce your wife, but from the beginning it has not been so.
They were asking him a lot of questions about marriage and divorce, but how did he really answer the question? The main way was to take them back to the beginning. What's the Lord's recovery? Go back to the beginning. Listen, in the beginning, brothers and sisters, in the beginning, was there anything called denominations? No. You know, if I had a board here, if I had a chalkboard, and we put a fraction on the board, what's the lower number called? Denominator. What's it for?
Dividing.
In the beginning, there were no denominations. In the beginning, we were just what we were, the church.
Amen.
Just the increase of Christ. Because we're born again, who are we? We're the church. Amen. We're the church. We're just Mrs. Jesus. Listen, in the beginning there was no such thing as Mrs. Episcopal Jesus. Or you could name and name and name and name. We were just his spouse. We're just the church. We're just the bride of Christ. So what do we need to do? What's the Lord's recovery? Go back to the beginning.
Amen.
Satan has made a mess. But the answer is to go back to the beginning. You know, when my wife and I began to get clear about the Lord's recovery, we were reading a book by Watchman Nee called The Normal Christian Church Life. And we were in a particular denomination, and the pastor and his wife, we loved them very much, and we knew everybody there. And I was teaching a Sunday school class with high school young people, and it was supposed to be about this denomination's history, but I decided to teach them from this book. And the class kept getting bigger and bigger, and questions were being asked, and pretty soon the pastor said, "What's going on in that class?" So I just told him, I showed him the book, and he said, "Let me read that." So he read the book. And after a few days, he sat down with Bonnie and I, and he said, "Everything that's in there, I agree with. But it's too idealistic, it will never work." So he was going to be satisfied with all the divisions. And then he looked at us, he said, "If you really feel this way, you probably shouldn't be here any longer." And we had a very nice parting. We still love one another, but we realize we can't be there anymore. Because the Lord wants the oneness.
Amen.
The Lord wants the oneness.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
So what do we need to do? Go back to the beginning.
Amen.
In the beginning, there was just the oneness, just the body. All these other things came in. So the Lord's recovery is go back. Recover what's lost. Get back from what's abnormal to the original. Hallelujah for the beginning.
Amen.
For the beginning. Now, A, typified by the return of the children of Israel from their captivity in Babylon back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple of God and the city of Jerusalem. They went back. They got lost. They got scattered. But praise the Lord, they returned. So brothers and sisters, even this 2 days are for all of us freshly to return. To return to the simplicity of the beginning. The purity of the beginning. Just the body of Christ. Just the church. Just Christ. And nothing else as a substitute and no division. Then B, revealed in the later epistles of the New Testament such as Titus, 2 Timothy, 2 John, and Revelation. Could you read 1, 2, and 3 together? Ready? Go.
Cleansing ourselves from the vessels of dishonor in the great house, the apostate Christendom, to be vessels unto honor, not contacting those who do not abide in the teaching of Christ, the teaching concerning Christ's deity and incarnation by a divine conception, coming out of the religious Babylon the Great.
So this is, listen, look at these three words in 1, 2, 3. Number one, cleansing. Because of Satan's stratagem, there needs to be a cleansing. Number two, not contacting. Number three, coming out. Cleansing, not contacting, and coming out. You know, look at this. Cleansing ourselves from all these things. You know, here's Brother Mike Jones. What if he comes to us tonight as Right Reverend Jones? I tell you, this is a shame.
Yeah.
In the beginning, there was no Right Reverend. In the beginning, there was just Brother Mike.
Amen.
In the body of Christ, we're just all brothers and sisters.
Amen.
We're just all his members.
Amen.
Only one is exalted, Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
So we're so glad this is Brother Mike Jones.
Amen.
How about we shout hallelujah for Brother Mike? Hallelujah for Brother Mike. So not titles, not ranks, not rituals. Nothing would replace Christ. Nothing would damage the body. And nothing would kill our function.
Amen.
Well, vessels of dishonor, what are they in that number one? Vessels of dishonor, what? Wood and earthen vessel. Means there's nothing. There's nothing of Christ there. As opposed to gold and silver. We want to be among those. We want to be among those who are of gold and silver. That means what? We got redeemed by Christ. And we get filled with Christ as the wonderful divine one. So we are constituted with the divine nature. Hallelujah! For the precious vessels. Vessels unto honor. To be filled with Christ. Okay. Well, the last word is number three in that phrase, coming out. What should be our attitude toward all these stratagems of Satan? Cleansing, not contacting, coming out. Amen. And we need to pray and open to the Lord. What does that mean? What does that mean? Lord, you apply this to me. You apply this to me. Now let's get to Roman numeral 5, the last one. The three aspects of the recovery of the church. Well, number one, A, recovering the all-inclusive Christ as the content of the church. Amen. Let's open our Bible to Ephesians 1:23. Okay? Ephesians 1:23. And what does this say? Read this together. Go.
Which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all.
Amen. Okay. Really, we as the church are the body of Christ, and this wonderful Christ is the one who fills all in all, and we have become his fullness. His fullness. If you have a really, really, I think there's a few brothers here that are really, really big. If you have a big brother, you just see, wow, here's a big brother, and here's the head of this brother now has a, what? He has a fullness. Because of enjoying all the riches of Christ, we become the fullness of Christ. So we want to be those who are enjoying all the unsearchable riches of Christ to be the body of Christ, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. Number one, Christ being preeminent in all things. We read this verse. One of the brothers had us read this verse. It says, Christ is the head of the body. Let's say that together. Christ is the head of the body. And it says that he might have first place in all things. This means what? The Lord's recovery is a recovery of Christ. Firstly, Christ as the preeminent one. And there's a principle, especially brought out in the book called Christ and the Church in the Psalms, and it really is experienced in our daily living, saints, that if Christ is not given preeminence, our Christian life and church life is in a state of desolation, a state of waste and ruin. So our job in cooperating with Christ in his recovery is to always give him the preeminence. Isn't that good? We could have 2 days together to give Christ the preeminence.
Amen.
And as David mentioned, to give him the preeminence is to give him the first love. Hallelujah! Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
We want to give him the preeminence. Second, Christ being everything to the believers. Isn't that good? Colossians 1:12, it says he's our portion. He's our God-given portion. So brothers and sisters, Christ is our portion. You know, growing up, I enjoyed many things and exciting things and sports things and this kind of thing and that kind of thing. But there is no portion like Christ.
Amen.
He's too good. Amen. He's too good. He's the best portion in the whole universe. And God wants us to enjoy him. So Christ would be everything to us. See those verses, John 8:12, 6:51 and 6:57b? 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall by no means walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Then verse 51 says he's the living bread and we need to eat him. Then 57b says, he who eats me will live because of me. That means, what does eat mean? Eat means receive, take in, enjoy. Enjoy this Christ. And in Colossians, that was the first verse mentioned there. This Christ who's our all-inclusive portion. He wants to be enjoyed by us. You know, this morning, three of us were coming up, and we were just enjoying all different signs. Every sign was being translated into the enjoyment of Christ. And cry, oh, you're our freeway. Amen. And you see a truck, APL. What's that mean? Always praise the Lord. Amen. He's our burger. He's our delight. He's our everything. Lord, you're our sunrise. You're our mountain. We were looking at the beautiful scenery with the clouds in the mountains. Lord, you're the most scenic one in the whole universe. Wow, that's to exercise our spirit to enjoy Him. You know the best way to follow Him? Is swallow Him. Lord says, follow me, he who follows me. The way to follow Him is swallow Him. By exercising our spirit to enjoy Him. He's everything. We were just enjoying. Lord, you're our real love. You're our real joy. You're our real fuel pump. You're our real everything. Apart from you, we have nothing. Hallelujah for Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Then number three, Christ being everything to the church. Everything to the church. You know, 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, Christ is not only the head of the body, it also says Christ is the body of the head. The body of Christ is Christ. Body of Christ is Christ. So see these brothers. Would you, brother, stand up in the front row? See these brothers? Actually, apparently they're just brothers. But they're the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is Christ. And when Paul was persecuting the church, he was persecuting the believers. But what did the Lord say? The Lord said what? He said, why do you persecute me? Right? Why do you persecute me? In other words, this wonderful Christ, by dispensing Himself into them, had made them part of Him. So this is not just Samuel and Mark and the brothers. This is Christ. This is Christ. This is the body of Christ.
Amen.
So this is so precious. Even the church is just Christ. Thank you, brothers. Amen. The church is Christ. There's a song we sing, the church is Christ. His expression on the earth today. Amen. Well, all those verses show you in detail how Christ is everything to the church. Praise the Lord for Christ!
Amen.
Okay, let's look at B. Recovering the oneness of the body as the standing of the church. Ephesians 4, 3 through 6 are very, very precious verses. And indicating that the burden on the Lord's heart, the deepest burden on the Lord's heart is the oneness. Satan's stratagem is to divide the body. The Lord's recovery is to recover the oneness. So this is so precious. A, being the Lord's aspiration and prayer. In John 17, the Lord prayed again and again. What did He say several times? Oh, Father, that they may be one, even as you and I are one. The deepest burden on the Lord's heart is the oneness. But look what Satan has done among the believers. So we must be those who recognize what Satan's done. And also wake up to respond to the Lord in His recovery.
Amen.
To recover the oneness of the body of Christ. B, being the oneness of the Spirit. The oneness of the triune God, which is the oneness of the body of Christ, is just the oneness of the Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, our wonderful Christ has gone through crucifixion, resurrection. He's become the life-giving Spirit. And right now, He is with us in our spirit.
Amen.
Now, would you open your Bible to Ephesians 4:3? We need to read this precious verse. We need to read Ephesians 4:3. Ready? Get set, go.
Being diligent.
Amen. So we want to be diligent. What are we doing these 2 days? We're just exercising our diligence to do what? Take care of the oneness of the Spirit, which means just take care of Christ, the Spirit Himself.
Amen.
This wonderful Christ as the life-giving Spirit in our spirit, He is the oneness of the Spirit. He's the oneness of the body. It's the oneness of the triune God. So to Satan's stratagem of division, we say no. To the Lord's recovery of oneness, we say amen.
Amen.
And then being the unique ground for the practice of the church life on earth practically. And in a simple way, this means what? We refuse to be denominated. We would stand with the oneness of the body of Christ and the testimony of oneness wherever we go. Hallelujah!
Amen.
This is the Lord's recovery. Now let's go to C. Recovering the function of all the members of the body of Christ for the building up of the church. Tearing down the clergy-laity system which the Lord hates. Revelation 2 says the Lord hates the clergy-laity system, the system that makes some passive, others do everything, and there's no expression of Christ. He hates this. So what do we hate? We hate what God hates.
Amen.
And we love what God loves. We don't hate any people. Never. We don't hate any people. But we hate the system. We hate the system. We hate Satan, who wants to damage the Lord's testimony. Number two, saints being nourished to grow to be perfected in the divine life. Could we read Ephesians 4, 15 and 16? 4, 15 and 16. Okay. Let's read that together. Go. But holding to truth in love. Amen. How does the body of Christ get built up? Gets built up by all of us being recovered to function as healthy, normal members in the body. We get perfected by one another, and as we open to the Lord and to one another in the church life, what happens? There's a development of our function. Satan wants to cheat us by what? Keep us away from the brothers and sisters. Keep us away from the meetings. Just have your own life. Do this or that. But this is Satan's stratagem. Number one, to attack the oneness. Number two, to put in substitutes for Christ. And number three, to kill your function. So may we cooperate with the Lord, that all of us would be gained by the Lord and perfected by the Lord to function according to our measure for the building up of His body. How about just turn to your neighbor and just give them a little... divine infusion, and just let your neighbor know, hey neighbor, you are very important to the body of Christ. And you know what? This is the truth. Let's read number three together. Go. You know, there's a little sister. I really appreciate this dear little sister. She got saved last October. She got baptized. And she had joined the Marines. She's not in the Iraq, but she was in the, what you call, not full-time, but, huh? Huh?
Reserves.
Reserve, yeah. Anyway, she went to Paris Island for boot training. Really rough. She wrote back letters. But meanwhile, the sisters were just sending her all kind of things and just kind of the word and infusing her with the Lord. And she would write back and she just said she was speaking Christ to all these Marines. And at the end of one letter, she just said, you know what I am? I'm just a little bird with a little message. But she was, what a happy little bird. She was chirping. She is just a happy little bird, chirping Christ to everybody.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Yeah.
I tell you, this makes the Lord happy.
Amen.
This Lord makes the Lord really, really happy. So praise the Lord for the recovery!
Amen.
Recovery back to Christ as everything.
Amen.
Recovery back to the oneness of the body.
Amen.
And the recovery of all the members and their function according to their measure.
Amen.
What's this for? So God could be expressed.
Amen.
So what? God's wisdom would shame the devil. And hallelujah, the entire universe would be set free.
Amen.
Because everything is headed up in Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah for the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
So listen, remember these 3 points. God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
Satan's stratagem. But praise the Lord for the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
So brothers and sisters, we don't need to be afraid of this fight. Christ is victor.
Amen.
Christ is victor.
Amen.
Satan is defeated. I had such a good time before this meeting. Just letting the Satan, you're in the lake of fire.
Amen.
All these dear ones are overcomers.
Amen.
I believe it. I believe it. Don't look at yourself. You look at yourself, it's hopeless. We look at Christ.
Amen.
We look at the truth.
Amen.
He sees all the little birds giving little messages, building up the body, enjoying Christ. And Satan's in the lake of fire.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
God's expressed. Satan is shamed by God's wisdom. And what? The universe is headed up in Christ with all of his followers and members cooperating with him. So in conclusion, according to these last 3 points, A, B, C of Roman numeral 5, I'd like to end this way. What is our need? Our need to cooperate with the Lord. If the Lord tonight, as the Spirit, has convicted and exposed Satan and how he's operating in your life, what do you need to do? You need to repent. You need to turn. You need to freshly open to the Lord. And according to these 3 points, what do you need to do? Number one, give him your first love. Give him your first love. Number two, related to be, keep. Be diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit. And number three, related to C, be a member practicing to build up the church by functioning according to your measure. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
This is for the fulfillment of the purpose of the ages.
Amen.
Can we shout again hallelujah for the purpose of the ages? Hallelujah! Amen. And I believe tonight that a number even want to get baptized. And it's perhaps the Lord's burden is that you would like to be baptized to take a fresh stand with the Lord. It's your consecration to do what? To cooperate with the Lord for his expression, for his wisdom, and for his administration. Anyway, we just open to the Lord and open to him as the speaking spirit to do whatever he wants to among us tonight. But praise the Lord. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Oh, we love him.
Amen.